The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 42 degrees, and I don't know if this is a dad joke, but Dawn sent this to me last night, and I laughed out loud, all right? And dad jokes of the day, by the way, are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And by the way, they have a new line of Horizon trailers have arrived at Two Dogs. And they're celebrating by giving away a turkey fryer. Yay, Thanksgiving, with any trailer purchased before Thanksgiving. Horizon heavy-duty equipment, trailers available in 10, 12, 14, 20-foot lengths. They're sharp-looking all black or two-tone black and gray and black and tan. Two Dogs Fab, all right? So, like I said, I don't know if this is a dad joke. I'll have to clean this up a little bit. But anyway, so I was at, this is submitted by Dawn. I was at the Barnes & Noble earlier, and I asked the clerk if they had Donald Trump's new book on how to deport illegal aliens. And she immediately snarled and yelled at me, "Get the F out of here and don't come back." And I said, "Yeah, that's the book. Do you have it in paperback?" I don't know if that's a dad joke, but it's my dad's joke.
Right? This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
What is the state of lawfare, especially against President Trump? Well, Letitia James had an interesting statement when she dug in after seeing the election results.
We've studied their platforms. We've identified certain possibilities, fact patterns. We've created contingency plans. So no matter what the next administration throws at us, we're ready. We're ready to respond to their attacks. We're ready to respond to any attempts to cut or eliminate any funding to the great state of New York, as the governor outlined. So despite what has happened on the national stage, we will continue to stand tall in the face of injustice, revenge, or retribution.
Huh. I don't know. Is that projection here, Mike O'Neill from the Landmark Legal Foundation? I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, injustice and retribution. That's everything that the New York cases have been about, in my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what have you seen for the past 2 years, Bill? You've seen unceasing, unrelenting lawfare waged against now President-elect Trump, and unprecedented. I mean, we can just delve into some of the unprecedented actions. And it's interesting. I love how it's always the left is talking about democracy and protecting democracy, but they're the ones who are rejecting democracy. Keep in mind, these are the individuals who worked hard to keep. First, they wanted to have Donald Trump's name removed from the ballots. Remember back in March?
That's right.
From the primary ballots. They didn't want to, that had to be litigated all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. They waged unceasing lawfare with the Biden Department of Justice and the Office of Special Counsel, Jack Smith, unceasing, unprecedented lawfare, unconstitutional and not statutorily moored to any authority, but yet he waged this unceasing lawfare. And you saw it in Georgia, you saw it in New York. Again, they managed to secure that conviction with the most barest of pretenses of a prosecution. They had a Manhattan jury convict him. Now, look, the rubber meets the road now. I think a couple of things. First of all, the American people have spoken. I don't know if it was necessarily dispositive or not, but certainly it was a factor that the American people overwhelmingly elected Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. They knew exactly the amount of lawfare he was under. They've seen all of these. Goodness knows every single one of these cases has received incredible, immeasurable headlines over the past few months. And the American people rejected it. And now we have a president-elect. And what's going to happen here? I think if you want to just delve into it, we can delve into it. Currently, there's four cases. There's four criminal cases that are pending at various stages of the procedural aspects. We can jump into where they all stand and probably what's going to be the disposition of each one of those, if you'd like to do that.
I would like that very much, because I know that, I mean, technically he is a convicted felon, you know, from what happened earlier this year. And I mean, it's interesting. I never thought I'd be, talking about these kind of things, but there has been so much division in here, and I wanted everybody to understand where this could be possibly going. And are troubles going away just by nature of being president-elect, or are there still possible minefields here that could be navigated by the president-elect?
Yeah, I think the general take is that let's take a broad takeaway. President-elect Trump is not going to jail. It's just not going to happen. It's constitutionally the state you're talking about. If you want to talk about, let's start with New York, for example. Since you mentioned the conviction of the felony conviction, there is a very strong constitutional case, and this functions almost as a backstop here. There's a constitutional case that a state judge does not have the power to imprison a president-elect, doesn't have the power to imprison a president. Think about it this way.
Now I want to be clear about, isn't there a sentencing scheduled for, I thought it was November 26th on that case?
Yeah. Well, there's something actually that's going to happen before then. It's November 12th is actually the Judge Mershon has said that he's going to have a ruling on a motion to set aside the verdict decision. Now, the jury did render a guilty verdict. That is true. But what happened was the Trump's lawyers argued that the jury considered improper evidence, that there was evidence that was presented to them that was improperly permitted.
Oh.
And so there is a intervening moment. Yes, there is that November 26th sentencing hearing. Yes, that's true. But there is an event that's going to occur before then, next week, actually, November 12th. He has to have a decision on this motion to set aside the verdict. That also might be an opportunity for Judge Mershon. And I think I've heard a few rumblings on the margins here about this. Don't hold me to it. But I've heard some rumblings on the along the margins that Mershon might be prepared to move off this case, at the very worst, suspend it. Look, there's an argument to be made that any kind of punishment imposed on a president, even bringing him into court for sentencing, you're talking about this, would interfere with the peaceful transition of power. You cannot have a sitting president. So I know right now that we're in that intermediate time before President-elect Trump is inaugurated, but you can't interfere with the peaceful transition of power. There is the recognition that he has been duly elected by an overwhelming majority of the country and the American country, that the country has spoken, and that he is going to be the head of the executive branch, the president of the United States. And I don't think really constitutionally a state judge, a state official has the power to imprison or to jail a sitting president or a soon to be sitting president of the United States, because that would imagine this practically speaking. Could you say any politicized district attorney could prosecute the sitting president and try to have them in jail? It just doesn't work from a constitutional perspective. So I think you have that. And again, I do think that there have been some rumblings that Judge Mershon, I mean, for everything already that's already occurred, I think that there might be a recognition of those simple basic facts. So it's going to be interesting to see in the next, you know, in the next week or so, whether there's going to be this procedural off-ramp that's going to be utilized here to dispose of that New York case.
Boy, yeah, this is very interesting indeed. Mike O'Neill, once again, Landmark Legal Foundation, landmarklegal.org. So why don't we talk about these various criminal cases and what could possibly be happening? Because I know that there's probably going to be a lot of, grinding away in the news media about it. Why don't you give us your take?
They might just go away. I mean, well, first of all, they might not just go away. They're going to go. The federal cases, we're talking about Office of Special Counsel, this is Jack Smith, right? These have been the cases from Florida and Washington, D.C., the J6 case in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That's the case that actually went all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they litigated the contours of presidential immunity and then has come back down to Judge Chutkan. There's that case. And then again, the prosecution here is the Special Counsel Jack Smith. There's also that case brought by Jack Smith that's down in Florida. Those are those Mar-a-Lago documents case. Let's first touch on the Florida case. Interestingly, and you might not remember this, but interestingly, that case was already dismissed. Judge Eileen Cannon, a district court judge, had ruled, remember, this is a few months ago, had ruled that Jack Smith doesn't have the statutory authority to function as special counsel. And so on a motion to dismiss, she dismissed the indictment. So that case was dismissed. Of course, what the special counsel did was appeal that to the 11th Circuit. So currently the 11th Circuit has to decide whether Judge Cannon erred in granting this motion to dismiss. Well, guess what? If you want to talk procedurally, what can happen? And again, this is the recognition simply of the fact that the Department of Justice no longer will have the power to prosecute the sitting president of the United States, because the president is the chief executive and the Department of Justice is part of the executive branch. Knowing that is the background here, and that the Office of Special Counsel is going to be dissolved upon the moment Donald Trump takes president.
In other words, Jack Smith gets fired and it's done.
Yeah.
right?
Worst case scenario, he gets fired. But I think and again, you've seen some news reports on this that he's getting ahead of this and is going to wrap it up before then, well before then. So
okay.
I would think if we want to get into the nuts and bolts procedurally, I think the easiest way to do that procedurally is just drop your appeal and let the dismissal order from Judge Cannon take hold and dispose of that Florida prosecution. Now let's talk about the D.C. one. Again, we go back to the fact that there's not going to be any authority. Jack Smith would be fired. I think he's saying that the Department of Justice is going to wrap this up sooner rather than later. I think Judge Shutkin here in Washington, D.C., again, that's the election interference case, the J6 case. I think that they can simply seek that they're going to move to dismiss this case, joint motion to dismiss. Judge Shutkin orders a motion to dismiss. That case ceases. Again, the Office of Special Counsel wraps up. It's consigned to, it's put in our back rearview mirror, and we never think about it again. Both those federal cases go away. I think that again, honestly, Bill, that's sooner rather than later. I think you don't want to see this continue on when they know, and even the Justice Department knows, and even special counsel knows, that they're not going to have any authority post January 20th to do anything on this. So those are good news. That's all good news.
Now, you as an attorney, a legal eagle here, what could be done to bring in, I don't want a Department of Justice that lets any president run roughshod, mm-hmm. nor do I want presidents that have Department of Justices that go after people and run roughshod against people who could be their opponents. So, I don't want to see the Department of Justice then, hey, we're going to go after every Democrat, that we think may have done something wrong.
Right. Well,
I just want to, some fairness with the law. How do you do that? Is there a way to get that kind of even tempered approach to the law?
I think so. I mean, I think if you look back, there's been plenty. I mean, the Department of Justice has long been in the country. I think if you look back into the 1980s, the Meeks Justice Department, I think that there's models out there for discerning lawbreakers from political opponents. And I think you have to consider, I think it really, if you're going to make a decision, there's this thing called prosecutorial discretion that's always applied, obvious, that prosecutors apply. And I think you have to ask yourself a fundamental question. If the target of your investigation from a criminal investigatory standpoint is a political opponent, I think you have to meet a very high bar before you begin to investigate them for criminal matters. I think you have to consider consistently, hey, where is the line being drawn here? Incidentally, it's interesting you hear, there were some off stories that I read remembering where there were some meetings between FBI agents and Department of Justice officials and FBI, and this is regarding investigations of Donald Trump, for example, over the past few years, and FBI agents expressed significant skepticism as to the validity of their investigation.
And so even the FBI was not real happy about doing that.
Possibly. And I think you can ask yourself a fundamental question now that I'm thinking through this is, would I be bringing this case but for the fact that he is the target of my investigation is my political opponent? You know, if this were just Joe Schmo on the street, would I be pursuing this case? Or am I pursuing this case because it's going to help me accomplish a political, each case is individual and each case should be weighed against its own merits, obviously. But you have to ask yourself a fundamental question, but for the fact that the individual, the target of my investigation, is my political opponent, would I be doing this? Would I be bringing, and let's keep in mind here, would I be bringing the full resources, full power and resources of the Department of Justice and the federal government on this individual, but for the fact that they are my political opponent? I think that's a fundamental question that every prosecutor needs to ask himself going forward.
And I would agree with you on that, but, when you have a new administration coming in, there's going to be, some changes. There always are. There are, thousands of employees that a new president gets to appoint. How do you take care of the issue of there could be quite a few lifers in the United States Department of Justice system that would consider themselves untouchable but have kind of proven themselves to be political prosecutors rather than just being criminal prosecutors?
I think a long look is going to have to be. And I think if you just looked, I think President-elect Trump announced a number of measures that he's going to take to kind of address some of this issue. And I think you have to take a long, hard look at career bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. and decide, how's it going to be? Again, have you lost sight of the fundamental practice of what your fundamental job obligations? Again, this shouldn't be an effort to, this shouldn't be a witch hunt, but this should be a long, hard look at the organs of government. Are these individuals working to better the country? Are they working within the statutory confines? Are they allowing, you know, political motivations or something outside the scope of what they should be considering to take root and take hold of them? Are they biased? I mean, to the extent to which everybody obviously brings biases, but are they allowing their biases to affect their job performance and how they execute their job? Again, when you're vested with this authority, this sounds like a hoary cliche, but have you, with great power comes great responsibility, and you should be humble. You should approach your job as one of a humble servant to the public, to the American people. And if you lose sight of that, if you somehow become arrogant in your position, I think then certainly everything should be on the table.
Yeah, I'm just hoping though that that we can kind of reverse some of the challenges, because what's happened over the last decade or more has been corrosive to the rule of law, or to the respective mm-hmm. rule of law, in which everybody feels like you are equal before the law. And we just kind of feel that way, you know, it doesn't matter what party you are. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Before the law, you would be judged the same. And that's really corroded for quite some time.
Right.
There's been a real
Absolutely.
Weaponization of it. And part of the healing process would be just to have an ideologically neutral Department of Justice and FBI. Is that something which can be obtained?
Oh, I think I would like to see that as much as anybody. And I think that what's happened, and you really touched on it, is the loss of faith in institutions. And I think once you lose that faith, it's incredibly difficult to get back. I mean, I think, you know, think about a loss of faith in our criminal justice institutions, loss of faith in our electoral institutions. I think look what happened just a couple of days ago. I think the election, generally speaking, we had a lot of eyes on the process, the electoral process, the entire election. And generally speaking, I'm sure there's going to be issues here and there, but generally speaking, it wasn't like 2020. So I think the election of 2024 went a long way to restoring faith in the electoral system. In other words, Americans can believe in the integrity of their voting process. Well, I think, again, you have President Trump, and that's an important job that he's going to have in his Department of Justice, and his executive branch is going to have is to restoring faith and trust in these institutions.
And that does not mean being retributive or issuing retribution, so to speak, because then you end up being just as bad as what you were complaining about during your time.
Yeah, you certainly guard against that. But again, hold people to account. You know, I mean, individuals who permitted and abetted this unceasing lawfare, and think of the damage that's done. I mean, from a constitutional law perspective, it's certainly been an interesting few years. But from a national standpoint, it's really, I think these have all been terrible things. We didn't want to have a decision about whether you're going to disqualify a presidential candidate under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That was terrible. You know, they were actually having to take Donald Trump's name off the ballots, take away the right of the American people to vote for their preferred candidate for president. That's they were doing that in February, March, April of this year. That was terrible. I don't want to have to litigate that case up to the Supreme Court. Similarly, I don't want to have to define the specific contours of presidential immunity, because you're going to have to say, oh, well, conversations between my attorney general, are those, do those constitute official versus unofficial acts? Think about the damage that has been wrought by this unceasing lawfare. Again, not to mention the simple fact that you're talking about is the retributive analysis here. Well, if you've been the victim of this stuff, certainly one of your inclinations is when you come into power is to say, hey, look, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. And then you engage in this unceasing cycle where it never ends. So this is all a lot of damage that's been done. And so there's a big job for the president going into office. It's a lot of work to be done.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the take on it. I'll link to your statement on this too. And once again, Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Foundation at the Ronald Reagan Legal Center, Ronald Reagan Legal Center there. Thank you so much for the take on it. Landmarklegal.org. We'll have you back, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Bill. You have a great day.
Yeah, good conversation. 8:30 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You're on the Bill Myers Show. We have open phones now between now and the rest of the morning, okay, which is a half hour. 770-5633.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service.
But you don't get to tell me what to think and what to do. You don't get to tell me what is true.
I think this is going to be my new favorite song right now on the iPod. I want to thank Gino for sending this to me there. Liars, Cheats, and Crooks by Five Times August. I've never heard that song. I love this song, Gino. That's perfect. When a sick want to tell us what to think, all the rest of it. Well, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that. We go to Brad. Hello, Brad. Welcome back.
Hey, happy Friday morning. Boy, what a great segment that you had with Bill of Landmark Legal. Here is, in my opinion, the number one reason why Jack Smith is going to wrap all this up and get out of Dodge before Trump gets sworn in on January 20th.
And what do you think that's going to be, Brad?
What's that?
Why do you think he's going to wrap that up before?
Because he has so many hard drives that he has to erase to keep that information out of the hands of the Trump administration. Can you imagine all the files, all the work that they have done? They're going to find ties to Letitia James. They're going to find ties to the Attorney General of New York. He's got if everything that they have. See, that was the last thing they ever thought was going to happen, was that Trump was going to win this race. That was the last thing they ever imagined. Can you imagine all of the information that's on all of the hard drives in the custody of the Department of Justice and the FBI?
Isn't that something which would be forced to be, you know, it's part of the government record? Would that not be going to the archives?
I'm sorry. Are you aware of some illegal action that these various people have been unwilling to take? I mean, we already know these are the same people that were all inhabiting offices during the 8 years of the Obama administration. 90% of the people that are in this, that are operational in this information, were there during the 8 years of the Obama administration, and I mean, all you have to do is look at what they did last time. Go back to 1992. Do you remember the first thing that Bill Clinton did?
He fired the attorneys. He fired the
He fired every single federal attorney in the building. Every last one of them.
Trump's going to have to do the same thing, I guess, huh?
He's going to have to. I mean, probably one of his biggest challenges. You could ask Congressman Bence about this, but I think one of his biggest challenges is making sure that all of these people that are working for him are not enemies in hiding.
That's an excellent takeaway here, Brad, because, you know, as we know, the American Bar Association is a hard left group. The American Bar Association is also all in on woke DEI and also sustainable development, also known as climate friendly, equitable communities that they like imposed in the state of Oregon, like in Medford, like you and I have been talking about, you know, quite often. OK, it's all part of that.
Oh, yeah.
So where do you find those attorneys that aren't plugged in up the anal orifice of the American Bar Association's policies?
Well, I gotta believe there's a lot of good attorneys out there. I mean, you and I know a lot of attorneys, you know, and even the ones that I know that lean left, they're pretty sturdy when it comes to having a good moral compass. You know,
well, politically, I hope you're right about that, and I hope he's able to find those people. Hey, Brad, I appreciate that call, and thanks for making it too. We'll be talking a lot, I think, over the next few weeks here. Morning, hi, who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, is this me?
Yeah, it is. Who's this?
Steve in Sunny Valley.
Hi, Steve.
Going on what Brad said, over 92% of the population of Washington, D.C. voted for Kamala. And a lot of hinky has been going on in Washington, D.C. courts regarding the J6 defendants. Mm-hmm. I think this is not what our founding fathers had in mind for Washington, D.C., and an equitable thing to do, because these people are not being tried by their peers. They're being tried by deep staters.
It would be interesting to transfer any J6 trials out to their home jurisdictions. How about that?
Here's a more permanent solution. Split up the neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. between Maryland and Virginia, so there are no people living in Washington, D.C. Dissolve those courts and give them to the states, and the problem goes away. Then you got a larger jury pool in Virginia and Maryland.
Yeah, because the D.C. circuit is just totally, totally corrupt and gone. Good idea. And I hope maybe President Trump could maybe influence and do that, okay? Let me grab one more call before news, and I think Captain Bill's going to call in with some interesting news here, too. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Joel, Captain Bill Haber.
Yeah, Joel, your phone, of course, is down a cardboard box someplace in the sewer, but give me a quick one, huh?
Okay, six states are suing Pfizer over their vaccines.
Uh-huh.
And then Governor Newsom has got a climate committee who's now going to reformulate gas in California, adding another 70 cents to the, per gallon.
Well, yet another reason to be here, but that won't help you for now, all right? By the way, I just want to let you know that Annie Twosome Newsom ended up calling a special session because they're there to get ready to pass legislation to fight the Trumpsters. So Newsom will still be warring on his own people, okay? It's 20 before 9. This is the Bill Myers Show. Streamed on KMED.com, and we appreciate you listening wherever you happen to be, even the Facebook Live, where I've been up there for the last 2-3 hours, Facebook.com/Bill Myers Show. Captain William E. Simpson returns to the program. Hey, Bill, interesting thing that Bobby Kennedy is doing, and I guess your name came up on it, huh? What's going on there? Hmm?
Well, yeah, that's really Christmas came early, obviously, for everybody, so... the neat thing is that Bobby Kennedy is working with Trump in the new administration, and Kennedy, of course, has the defense fund he's been working on a long time for the health defense fund, and then he has his own website, Kennedy, and it's Kennedy and the letters MAHA, so Make American Health Great Again, and so it's Kennedy Maha, MAHA.
Uh-huh. KennedyMaha.org, is that what it is?
Yep, that's what it is. I put a little link up at the comments on today's Facebook. But anyway, so somebody, I didn't know this was going on. I got an email and somebody had nominated me to be the director of the BLM Wild Horse and Burro program because Trump wants to find people, good Americans with good values that aren't part of this political, you know, nightmare that's been going on and that want to get things done. People that want to actually get things done. I want to just solve the whole wild horse debacle. It's been going on way too long, 40 years. It's an easy fix, and then I can move on to saving the whales or something, right?
So what is this about nominating it? So the Maha, the mahanow.org is the website, main website. I'm looking at it right now. So you can go on this site and then actually put in suggestions of people to join the administration in certain capacities. Is that what you're telling me? I want to make sure I understand this correctly.
Yeah, the way it works is he lists on, when you go in there, and the link is, I put it on the comments today, there's all the different categories of areas, American health, economy, education, energy, infrastructure, environment, natural history, food and agriculture, labor, peace abroad, peace at home, qualities of, and so forth. It's all on the left column. And then, so you click on a category, you know, I'm involved in, of course, natural resources. And then if you sign up, you have to sign up to vote. And that's smart because it doesn't let the click bots from the, you know, the people that want to try to control everything. It doesn't let the click bots go in there and skew the election. So you got to sign up.
Okay.
And then they have a process where you get your email and then you can go in and then you get to vote or nominate somebody. There's a nomination button. And so somebody apparently did all that, nominated me, and now it's kind of taken off because people have found out I got nominated under natural resources. And
now, this would not be to run the whole natural resources department, but it would be about specifically putting you in your area of expertise on the wild horses and such, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'd be down the chain of command at the BLM. In other words, you've got the head of the BLM, and then underneath that are several different departments. And one of those departments is the BLM Wild Horse and Burro Program. And see, that was, and of course, as you remember, back in 2019, Congressman Greg Walden nominated me to be the national advisor for the Wild Horse and Burro Program. And I was going to be seated, but of course I couldn't because of driving back and forth from the ranch of Portland because my wife was dying in the hospital from the smoke. So from the wildfire here. So I had to decline. I was going to be seated, but I had to say, hey, I can't do it. You know, I can't, you know, I got to be there for her. So I had to turn that down then, but I think now might be a better timing anyway, because Trump's controlling the court, they control the House, the Senate, you know, and I think things can get done. And then we get a lot of good people. And that's what Kennedy's doing. He wants to get a lot of really good people. I guess there's 5,000 positions open. And, so I'm hoping people will vote for me so I can solve this wild horse problem and then move on, you know, because I'm not looking for a job. I just want to get the problem done and then work on other things in our county. You know, we have a lot of problems, and you know you got problems in your county. And some of our problems are shared problems, like wildfire and toxic smoke. I want to get involved with that next more heavily.
But still, having you in charge of the wild horses would bring a little balance other than the federal program up to now, which seems to be, let's find a way to round them up and kill them. Would that be a fair assessment of where we are right now, or make it?
It's a financial disaster, Bill. We're spending $250 million a year feeding them hay and corrals. There's only 59,000 left. This is the BLM's own number. 59,000 left in all of America. That's all that's left of the wild horses that Nixon protected back in 71. 59,000. That's a joke, because you get 100,000 sage grouse, people have a heart attack. But here we have, they have 24 chicks. I mean, here's an animal, 11-month gestation, one baby, rare genetics, and there's 59,000, and they're sterilizing them and rounding them up as fast as they can because they don't have a better idea. That's got to go away. That's mind-numbing. The ignorance and stupidity is mind-numbing. So, I could fix that. I mean, in 1 year, I'd be out of a job. I'd have that whole program turned around and fixed and done and save Americans $250 million.
Do you know how much that cheers me, Bill, to hear someone talk about joining the government bureaucracy and saying after a year I would be out of work because I would have taken care of the problem? That's more of the spirit that's needed to be done, finding a way to work yourself out of a job because you've done what was needed.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is horses made America great to begin with, okay?
Yeah.
And now let's let horses help make America great again. Because if you do the right thing with the horses, they do the right thing for you.
All right. Captain William E. Simpson, I appreciate you joining in. I hadn't heard about this going on with Bobby Kennedy's website, but that's really interesting. I'm going to check that out. And I'll put a vote in for you, too. All right?
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. And so, once again, it's mahanow.org. And then you put in your email so that way you can vote. And then you can... vote for suggestions on people joining the bureaucracy, the 5,000 or so jobs that President Trump has to fill. Okay? Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. Some open phone time continues. Happy to take your call, 770-5633. We got about 8 minutes left before we head out into the weekend and maybe decompress a little bit.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family.
I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
Want to thank Diner 62 delivering the wonderful breakfast this morning. Kind of a dinner, a lunchy dinner thing, but boy, it's tasty. It's like early Thanksgiving. I love turkey. And it was, it's turkey, open-faced turkey sandwich with that great gravy on it. Got some bread underneath it, open-faced sandwich, along with mashed taties. And they're good mashed potatoes, too. Diner 62, all right? Phone number I want you to remember, by the way, and a lot of people have been asking it because we're in this Medicare deal right now, this Medicare and enrolling and trying to fix up your various Advantage plans and the prescription drug plans and everything else. If you got someone in your family or maybe you are involved in this and you got some questions, get in touch with Lynn Barton at Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park Insurance is not only the independent insurance agency that will help you out with car and life and home and all the rest of it. And that's Steve's number at Sky Park, 261-5444. But Lynn Barton will help you answer questions on the Medicare side of things. And that would be very useful right about now. 541-499-0958, 541-499-0958. And if you couldn't write that down, just email me, bill@billmeyershow.com. And we'll take care of business with you, okay? Help you out there. SkyparkINS.com. SkyparkINS. And let's see, Steve, of course, is the guy there. We always got to end it this way.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
854, what's on your mind? We have somebody hanging on here. I think this is Dave. Is it Dave or someone else?
Hey, Bill, it's someone else, Deplorable Patrick.
Oh, Deplorable Patrick. Hey, DP, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing great with our election results, but I have a little observation here. Kamala, it seems, isn't quite all the way gone yet, but at least the cackling part is gone.
Yeah, I get the cackle. Well, finally got sort of depressed out, I think, right? And you can understand that. Don't feel much like laughing.
That's a good thing.
Have a great weekend, my friend. Good hearing from you.
Thanks,
okay?
Phil.
All right. Some emails of the day. Let's get a couple of those in here, too. Emails of the day. sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And if you don't have dental insurance, they have a dental plan there. And it's very similar to dental insurance, but better benefits, lower cost. Try it out. Check it out. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Freeman Way, next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. And Butch writes me this morning, Bill, still in red euphoria. I feel like I'm preparing for reports of a sporting event, but more importantly, I'm so happy our Salem Masters wanted electoral votes to go to the popular vote. While it may not have been an effect, it shows what happens when you tee off the people. As Veterans Day approaches, which, by the way, is Monday, folks, I think of my buddy Donnie Thompson, Avery intellectual soldier, a very intellectual soldier, I would say, and a longtime friend. November 11th was like freebies at Food for Less. I see now all the free meals must be consumed on premises. He'd hit every fast food stand within range. That's what Don Thompson would do. I remember Don was always playing the Diner 62 quiz, too. I remember that. Yeah, we miss him, Butch. We really do. But anyway, he was 1st Cavalry, Vietnam, a draftee, but he went and he did a great job. Thanks for the reminder. I appreciate that. Hans Albuquerque weighs in this morning. Bill. So in 2016, the Hillary election, 137 million votes were cast, a record. Then this week, 142 million votes were cast. Okay, slight increase, that makes sense. But in 2020, 155 million votes were cast, which is 13 million more overall this year. Where did 13 million voters disappear to this year? Hinky. Yeah, I mean thinky. I know. Strong evidence that the steal in 2020 was probably real. The Democrats were down 15% in supposed turnout, while the GOP was given. And no one is held accountable for it except the January Sixers. Hans Albuquerque. Hans, I appreciate you writing about that. Yeah, I kind of wondered about that, too. You can't tell me that there was that much of a explosion in voting that particular year, and then it just dumps back down. It doesn't make sense. Well, the thing about it, though, Hans, is that, and I don't want to relitigate the 2020 election again, but steals have to look plausible. And there was no way to steal it this year and have it look plausible. I just don't think there was. Everybody knew that the vibes weren't there. And to be fair, in 2020 with President Trump, I think there was a percentage of the electorate that was tired of the chaos. They didn't want the chaos and the tweets or whatever it is, and there was the lawfare and everything else going on. So it was plausible to work the hanky and get away with it at that point. I really do. I think that's a lot of what's going on. I mean, we remember what it was like when you had the blue-red lines on the election count. All of a sudden, you have that the blue line just goes boop, spikes up, and then just stays up there. Things did not right. Things just were not right. We know that. But at least, you know, in some respects, I don't know, maybe it was better that President Trump won now. Because I think about what happened in the first administration. He wasn't quite as savvy with his people in those days. And maybe having lost that and having lost it so unjustly gave us ultimately a better President Trump for this particular term. And we may not have had that in 2020. I know, yeah, we're just all Monday morning quarterbacking it. But we'll talk about it again on Monday morning and we can quarterback away. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Great weekend, okay?
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked